Everyone, and welcome to minute 55 of season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again in order to finish off this week is David Brook of Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hello again. Yeah, going back to see more money being counted.
Maybe
there isn't in this one. Actually,
it's very possible this minute doesn't have any counting.
We're
done for now, but next week we'll possibly continue with the counting, or actually might even be just completely done at that point. But whatever, that's fine. So minute 55 begins with Garber getting a little concerned, and ends with Garber trying to renegotiate things. So, we ended things yesterday with Garber going, "We're running out of time. We're running out of time." And, this minute continues directly from that, with a shot of the passengers on the train, and the music is very different here because they're giving us a little bit more of a tense feel to the whole thing. Now, I have a slight problem here with the way that they're showing us these the hostages, because earlier in the week we had a shot of the hostages and we saw the woman, the prostitute with the black woman next to her, and then after that we saw the cop. But now when you look at it, you see the hooker, the black woman, and then the mother with her two kids.
Oh, yeah. Something's
a little strange here. Now, again, I don't have a response. I don't have an explanation for this. But it's very strange, because I don't think the cop is that small that they would be able to block him, from the shot or anything.
He was kind of slinking down a bit, but still, you would have seen him.
Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you can barely make him out on that shot, wide shot.
Yeah.
Not sure. Yeah. Weird. And, he's either really laying flat and you can't see him, or he wasn't there that day.
maybe.
They try to hide him.
It's very possible.
Unless they let him go to the bathroom somewhere and they like him, but no, I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, and I love the way that the music just stops very abruptly with the whole thing. And they give us a little a shot of a bunch of the various characters. Actually, wait a second. We didn't see did we see the hooker in that shot? Or was it the student that was in the shot?
You see her in the wide shot, but I'm trying to think, not in the...
No, you know what? Now that I rethink of it, we saw the hooker wasn't in that shot. The hooker was she's sitting in a different place.
Yeah, you do see her in the wide, and you see her when you see the shot of Gray, but you don't see her in that first bit.
In the first bit, you don't see her, but they show us the various hostages, and they're all distraught, and don't know what to do, and then we even see the old man shaking his head. That they all know that something's coming to a head here.
Yeah, you get a nice kind of red light on some of them as well, giving that kind of warning kind of atmosphere, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's interesting the way that they show it, and they show all the passengers, and they're all like grouped together, and then we get a shot of Mr. Green all alone. And Green is probably more concerned than the passengers, because he has more of an idea as to what's really going to be happening here. He knows the plan.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. They raise the tension, and then they show us Mr. Green. And then we get a shot of Gray, who just starts whistling. And he looks at his watch. And it's a great job by Hector Elizondo, because basically we see that this character is anticipating the clock running out. He wants to see blood.
Yeah, yeah. He's whistling about it. He's happy about it. Yeah, he's looking forward to it. Disturbing.
But that's the whole idea here.
Yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
that they want us to see the way that this guy acts, because he's I mean, that's actually what's causing tension of among the hijackers together. You know, because here we have them you know, the different reactions. We see that Mr. Green is not happy about this whole thing, but Mr. Green is like, bring it on. Yeah, that's what I want. So it's interesting to see the different types of things. And then we hear over the speaker, Palom 123, this is command center. Come in, Palom 123. And you know, Blue lets everyone hear what's going on. And then Blue picks up the radio and goes, this is Palom 123. He goes, this is Garber. We're moving a little slowly at this end, Palom. We need some more time. He goes, sorry, no more time. Well, look, if you can just see your way, and then you know, we have Frank walk by in the background, making a lot of noise because he's yelling out orders and stuff like that. And then Garber stops pressing the, you know, the release button and goes, "Will you hold it down, Frank?" And then Frank goes, "I want a local sent around the loop here in Top Ferry and shot up on the west side from." And then Garber screams and goes, "I said, knock it off!" And he bangs it on the table. And Frank isn't too happy about that.
No.
And then Garber goes, "I'm trying to buy some time here." And Frank looks at him and goes, "And I'm trying to run a railroad for Christ's sake, while you're playing grab ass with a bunch of friggin' pirates." So now, do you have any idea what playing grab ass means?
I wasn't entirely sure. I've kind of heard it before, but I don't really get what he's trying to get at, really. I guess it's kind of I guess it's suggesting he's playing sort of cheeky, maybe semi-sexual kind of games with, I don't know why, with pirates, but I guess, well, it's just pirates are referring to terrorists, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. It is an odd little phrase, but an amusing one.
Again, it's first of all, it's interesting that it's a real word. You know, it's like it's in the Oxford Dictionary and stuff like that. So the informal use of, one of the informal use of it is sexual groping or erotic horseplay, and the other one is rowdy behavior or horseplay. So I think he's referring more to the whole idea here of it being just rowdy behavior. You know, I don't think that Frank is talking about anything about the eroticism or anything like that. As far as he's concerned, you know, he's using it figuratively, not literally, with about groping or things like that. As far as he's concerned, he says, "Look, I'm trying to run a railroad. Stop bugging me with the things that you're doing by, you know, this rowdy behavior that you're dealing with and
Messing around, basically, yeah.
messing around." Exactly. And then I love that he calls them friggin' pirates. Have you ever heard the word friggin' before?
Yes, yeah, it's used commonly in the
So you have any idea what it means?
UK. It could mean various things, I guess, but I guess it's quite commonly used just as an alternative to the other F word, I guess.
Okay, fair enough.
But it can mean other sexual things that I won't get into. I won't get into that here.
Okay, but the truth is that is the definition of the word to frig. To frig is another term for to copulate. So it's not like something that they just randomly chose instead of completely swearing. You know, a lot of times, you know, the word that replaces a harsher word usually has no connection to that word at all. But in this one, it actually does. I mean, come on, this goes all the way back to the 1600s. That's just crazy. And it was just a euphemistic substitute for saying the word. So it's just really weird. The idea though is that back originally, the term frig was considered as vulgar. Back at the time. The actual word is a verb which means to wiggle or to dance, things like that, which again fits in with the connotation here that they're trying to get across here. Using it as an expletive itself, like calling something friggin' something, it goes back to the 1930s. It's basically to move around restlessly. It could be a variant of the word to frisk. Yeah, so that's what friggin' means. Again, I never had the idea about the fact that it was a real word that means the same thing. I always actually just thought it was just a euphemism and that was it.
Yeah.
But apparently it's not.
No. It's weird how just things have a different like strength or a different level of swearing. It's bizarre. I guess it's constantly changing over time. It's that's what I find strange about swearing in general, whereas really they're just words. I guess the connotations can be offensive, but I don't know. I don't tend to find that many swear words actually offensive to myself. I don't use them too much, but I respect other people's respect other people enough not to use them all the time. But personally, I'm like, it's just a word. Yeah.
Exactly. At this point, Garber continues to, he just ignores Frank, basically. And he goes, how about 15 more minutes, Pelham? A lousy 15 minutes. Negative. You have 10 minutes then. 10 minutes. What difference can 10 minutes make to you? And, we're going to have to wait until Monday to find out his response to that. But I don't think that Garber is a very good negotiator.
Nope.
He jumps down too quickly.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I like the way that Frank has, continues with his duties despite everything that's going on here. Even if it's in the background type of thing.
Yeah, well, I guess because they've had to hold up a part of the track, then they need the other trains to keep going, I guess. At least some of them.
Or they have to divert the trains, I guess, to other tracks and things like that.
So actually, his job's a nightmare of a different kind.
No way. I mean, I don't know how the tracks work and stuff like that, but. It could very well be that there are a lot of trains that there's no way to bypass.
Exactly.
I didn't map out the all the various possible routes away from the 28th Street station. Don't know. All right. Is there anything else you want to say about this particular minute or these minutes this week or the movie in general?
No, I mean, I was trying to figure out then what Gray was whistling in that scene. I don't know; it might just be a random note, but I couldn't quite make out what he was whistling.
Yeah,
well, I was kind of doing it in the
I didn't
background.
Even try to figure that out.
I don't
know. I for some reason didn't think that was important to look up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've kind of said a lot of what I love about the film. I guess one thing I found interesting is that Joseph Sargent, the director, he doesn't have many other big kind of films to his name. He did Colossus the Forbin Project, which I have not seen, but it's been recommended to me. I ended up buying it, but I haven't got around to watching it yet. But I've heard that's quite an underrated little classic. But he didn't do a right lot else of note. I guess he's more famous probably now for directing Jaws the Revenge, which is terrible. But and he worked a lot in American TV, but it's a shame he kind of didn't get another really solid kind of script and cast to work with, because as I say, this is up there for me as one of the best films of the 70s. It's fantastic.
I totally agree with you, and for some reason that's why I decided that I would do this minute by minute.
Yeah, no, good choice, good choice.
Yes, I'm happy with that choice too. And we're just right now about the halfway. We passed the halfway point. During
nice.
this week we passed the halfway point on thing on Tuesday, I think was the halfway point. So yeah, we're slightly
nice.
Beyond that. I guess I should start thinking about next season. Maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. I'll send you your musical assignments.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right. So every Friday we have a segment called Fun City Friday, where my guests will give their top five movies that take place or are connected somehow to New York City. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Yeah, this one is tricky. There are a lot of great films made in New York, and so I tried to go for ones where, kind of New York, kind of features quite heavily. Just feels like part of like one of the characters, really. So yeah, number five, I'm gonna go with Annie Hall, mainly because I wanted to get a Woody Allen film in there. If we're doing a film about New York, you could have Woody Allen there, and Annie Hall is probably my favorite of his. I almost went with Manhattan because it's got the obvious kind of imagery of New York in there, but I don't like it quite as much as a film as I do Annie Hall.
Yeah, I like Annie Hall much better also.
Yeah. And then number four, I've got to go with The French Connection. The chases in set pieces and things, driving around New York and chasing around New York is phenomenal. So that had to be in there. I love the film. Then number three is one of my all-time favorites. That's The Apartment. I didn't put this number one because I think the next two I'm going to go with maybe make more of the city itself. But I think The Apartment does kind of it plays into the kind of idea of a character being well, at least at the beginning of the film, being quite a small cog in this bigger kind of machine. Mm-hmm.
I
love
the opening shots of the office where everyone is amazing.
Yeah, I adore The Apartment. It's one of my kind of top 10, top 15 kind of favorites. So yeah, it had to be in there. And then number two, I'm gonna go with The Sweet Smell of Success, which is an absolutely stunning film. It's really, really cynical, nasty, nasty film, but it's fun to watch in a dark kind of nasty kind of way. And again, that makes great use of the city. It's got a great soundtrack as well. And another jazz soundtrack. I think a lot of New York films have some great jazz soundtracks. And then number one, just because I've put it in all the lists and because I love it, I'm going to go with The Taking of Pelham 123. As I say, I think it's... I probably prefer some of the other films in the list. I don't know. They're all fantastic films. But I think I put it number one because, as I say, I think it kind of... It really embodies the city, the way it plays with a kind of a multitude of characters, the way it kind of plays... within the subway system and you've got the mayor involved. I don't know. It just kind of, and the whole banter and the whole, the kind of cultural melting pot of characters in there. It just feels like New York to me, or what I know of New York. I might be totally wrong. I've heard it's changed more over the years anyway, but it just feels like the ultimate New York film. So I had to put it at number one.
Okay. And you should know that you are the first person to use Pelham in this
oh really yeah. Oh wow, but yeah, and I've got to have a shout out. There's one film that I desperately wanted to put in there, but it just didn't quite make the cut, and that is Ghostbusters, because I love Ghostbusters. It's a good New York movie, but it just missed out.
Okay, excellent. All right, so let us now play the final rendition for you of Name That Remake. How well you can do this time. Let's spin the wheel and see where it lands. And around it goes, and it's getting closer, getting closer. Okay. The original movie came out in 1973 and the remake in 2017. And it's about a prisoner who plans a way of trying to escape the prison that he is in.
Oh, is it Papillon?
That it is.
Yeah.
Oh, nicely done. Nicely
done. I'm not sure what ever happened. I can remember them talking about the remake, and it kind of seemed to have came and gone. I can't remember anyone seeing it or talking about it. I don't know. Did you see it? I saw it.
I didn't like it even. No. Not even remotely close to liking the original.
I used to have the original was one of my early when I was first developing my film collection. That was one of the early VHS tapes I had, so I watched it quite a lot back in the day. But I haven't seen it since. Really. I haven't seen it for ages, but I did used to like it quite a lot.
Very nice, nicely done. So, would you like to, for one final time this season, tell people where they can find David Brook?
Yeah, you can find me over at blueprintreview.co.uk, where I review kind of cult, indie, classic, kind of world cinema, usually on physical media. Yeah, so check it out.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movearoundminute@moverob.net. So, David, once again, thank you very much, first of all, for the musical interlude that I get to listen to every episode twice,
no
worries. As do all the listeners. So thank you very much for that. And I look forward to your future piece, your future pieces, whatever the next one will be.
Excellent.
So I'll be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then,
good night.